Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Most people familiar with behavior are familiar with the Clever Hans effect. Clever Hans effect was named after a horse who supposedly knew how to count and do simple mathematical problems. Scientists debunked this, saying that the horse wasn't that smart at all. The horse was only picking up subtle body language cues from his owner when he approached the right answer. I personally don't think that this is a sign of stupidity, but that's what they believed at that time. Ever since then, researchers have put animals through some excruciating learning processes in attempts to eliminate the Clever Hans effect. In general, this means getting an animal to do something without any support from a human being. Whether or not this is scientifically correct, one must wonder about how ethical it is. But be that as it may, as more and more video clips of animals show up on the internet, I have to wonder whether there's such a thing as a clever lens effect. Do animals behave differently when they're being videoed by a person than when they're not? There seems to be a fair amount of information that says that when animals are being videoed remotely and they're unaware of the camera, they tend to go about doing their thing. But if they become aware of the camera, some will change their behavior. This includes some companion animals moving into a different room to get away from the camera. But what about when we hold a camera or a smartphone up and video an animal? Does the animal respond differently because of the camera? It seems to me that the probability of that is 50-50. The animal does or the animal doesn't. It does seem that the more the animal knows the person who is doing the videoing, the more this will affect the animal's behavior. That's simply the nature of the human-animal bond. And if this is an animal whose relationship with that person is based a lot on eye contact, then this effect may be particularly dramatic. But what are we thinking when we photograph or we video our animals? Are we off in our own little world somewhere? Are we forming an active bond with that animal at that particular moment? Or have we sort of sequestered ourselves? Have we disconnected? Have we become, as the old medical term used to be, a space-occupying lesion? We're there, but we're more or less benign. We exert a certain amount of pressure, but we're not malignant. We don't spread. We don't have much in the way of influence. We could be removed from the scene and it wouldn't make any difference. I don't know. I do know that there are a fair number of researchers who are looking at video clips of animals from multiple sources, and they are making conclusions based on what they see. I do it myself. But when we do that, we need to have a comprehensive written history, too, to understand what is really going on, to understand what preceded this particular event and what followed this particular event. And not only what physically preceded and followed the event, but what emotionally and mentally preceded and followed the event, before we can make any statements about what the behavior means. Is the clever lens effect going to turn out to be like the clever Hans effect? Something that we can eliminate sometimes and other times we can't, depending on the quality and the power of the bond between the photographer and the subject. Is that a good thing, or is it a bad thing? I suspect that many scientists would say it's a very bad thing because it introduces one of those nasty variables that can mess up the data. On the other hand, relative to what it says about people and their animals, there's something good to be said about the clever lens effect too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.